Hello and welcome to episode 162 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. This week, it's Craig, Tank, and myself. Let's get started.
Hi, Americans. What's up?
That's how the show's going to start now.
Hello, Americans, and welcome. This is Tech Reformation.
Oh, that's what you get when you have a German.
My nationality keeps changing. If you want to be truthful, I'm actually, my biggest non-Australian nationality is Scottish.
That explains so much about your...
red sideburns?
Appearance, overall.
Pale skin and freckles, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, to be fair, I'm part Scottish too. That's one of the majority. Yeah,
the surname kind of gives that away.
No, it doesn't. M-I-K-U-C-K-I.
It sounds like it could be Scottish, but it doesn't read like it's Scottish.
No, it's Transylvanian.
Oh, really?
Also pale.
Interesting.
At least the vampires. So there's that.
Was it? So hang on. Transylvania is fictional.
No, it's not. It's like Hogwarts. It's actually real. You can go there. It's in Florida.
Okay, so yeah, but I couldn't tell if you were joking and talking about like the, you know, the vampirical storyline side of
vampires,
things.
Vampires are fictional, just to clarify.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, oh my goodness, this cannot go in the show.
It's important. Because
I was trying to clarify
something
with you and you've just derailed it completely. I was trying to work out if you were seriously saying that that's where your heritage is from.
Yes.
Or if you were just wanting to make jokes about vampires.
Actually, growing up, we thought that the name was Polish. And then we found out that while it spent time in Poland, it actually goes back even further to Transylvania.
Huh. There you go.
Interesting. While it spent time in Poland. It's a funny word.
The name spent, yeah.
Yeah.
So Romanian, actually, then.
Yes. So I could be Carpathia for all you know. Don't be left behind.
I never watched the Left Behind movies read the books.
Oh, I read the like half of the Youth series.
I think my mom and my sisters read some of them. Whoa, nice.
That makes
Simplecast
sense.
Looks different. What makes sense?
Christian men don't buy or read books. Women buy and read books, and they buy books for their husbands and the men in their lives.
I read books.
I'm not saying you don't. It's just that one case there is one of the. It just fits the groove.
I think I read so many books that I would. No, that's not true. I think I only have one set of books. Does that count for anything?
What? You only have
he
one
only
set
keeps
of
one
books?
Set one set of books. He's not Christopher Hitchens.
I actually can't remember the point of that episode, but I remember that phrase.
Did you just suggest that any of the episodes of the latest form of flogging have a point?
Well, there's usually something you're aiming at. Whether or not you hit it is a different question.
Are you guys recording, by the way?
Yeah, I've been recording.
I am.
For
okay. Although I haven't been careful about my coffee drinking. I didn't think about that. Normally, I tend to avoid drinking in the microphone, but today we'll consider the statement, Fortnite is not just a game, it's a place. And by place, it's not referring to the stormy island where all the players drop into, but it means like a place where people hang out. So one author said, whether we like it or not, Fortnite is the new hangout, the new living room, or the better third place. It's like going to church or the mall, except there's an entire universe to mess around in together, and it doesn't matter where in the world you are. People hang out in Fortnite the way we used to hang out in basements or backyards. We played games or kicked a ball around, but it was all a pretense for the social aspect. So, before we dig into that a little bit, do you all have any experience with Fortnite? Do you know what it is, how it's played, any of that stuff?
I know what it is, and I've heard people talking about it. I've heard even radio interviews. One guy on Talkback Radio was interviewing his son, who he thought his son was kind of addicted to it, But then as he had a conversation with his son, he kind of realized that maybe it's not so bad as he thought. It was kind of like what these articles were talking about, I think. He realized that it was more of a, like he was actually getting some value and benefit out of it. It wasn't just a complete time waster and stuff like that.
Nice.
I have been alive for 754 fortnights. At least.
Did you like Google that or did you do the math?
Oh, I did the math. Episode, yeah. I've got Spotlight pulled up right here. Man, Spotlight for math, guys. It's great.
But this is how this happens. This is how these derailments happen.
I was just getting back on topic, Craig. Thank you. I have played Fortnite with my wife, no less.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
How was it?
You know, it's not my, what Craig would say, cup of coffee.
A cup of tea.
I just like hearing you say cup of tea because it sounds so British, but you're not. Anyway, yeah, it's not really my cup of tea. She liked it more than I did. The building aspect, like I like first person shooters. I don't like first person shooters that are pointless. I like to be like the good guys going against the bad guys. I don't like Grand Theft Auto. That's just malfeasance for malfeasance's sake. But yeah, I didn't like the building aspect of the game, which I think is what a lot of what draws a lot of people to it. It's also why I never got into Minecraft. But I had no idea that this social thing was happening until a few weeks ago when I read an article about how, we'll probably have to put this in the show notes as well, but it basically said that like Fortnite, a concert on Fortnite managed to steal a huge percentage. I say huge, it's not like 50%, but it was like statistically significant percentage of the Super Bowl audience. Like people were in Fortnite watching this concert instead of watching the Super Bowl.
Wow. I didn't even know there was a concert in Fortnite.
I didn't either.
I didn't know that was possible and I've been researching it, but is it like a distraction in the game? You know, it's like 100 people all against each other. Some just be watching the concert and a guy walks over. Or are you not allowed to kill each other while the concert's going?
I don't know, but this looks so much like Second Life. I'm looking at screenshots here. Marshmallow had a... Yeah, here we go. Marshmallow had a Fortnite concert. 10 million concurrent players in the Marshmallow concert event. So 10 million players were playing Fortnite during the Super Bowl. I mean, presumably they could have had the Super Bowl on in the background, obviously. I do get that. But like, that makes sense. Their attention was on the concert and Fortnite, at least some of them. That's 10 million, and there were... I'm not going to find this. Anyway, that's 10 million people during the Super Bowl playing a video game, watching a concert.
That's crazy. Yeah, so for those who don't know anything about Fortnite, I'll give just a brief rundown on what it is, and then you can imagine 10 million people watching a concert in it. So it's a game that a lot of people probably know just generally that it exists. But it's a game on all the different consoles and phone and computer, everything you can imagine it being on. And the most popular version of it, it's called Battle Royale. And it is either just 100 people all playing at the same time or as individuals or teams of four. So 25 teams of four. And it's all against all, last man standing wins. And so they all drop onto this island and they start with just like a hammer or a hatchet or something. And then they go and pick up guns. And in this whole time around the island is a storm, and the storm slowly closes in. So it basically pushes the remaining players together to the middle of the islands or somewhere on the island. And so that, you know, it's not just two people on an entire world, but it's just a small circle where they're all pushed into. And let's see. Oh, and as David was saying a minute ago, there's like a building aspect where you pick up wood and bricks and stuff, and you can build these forts that you can hide in and use as defense, or you can build stairs. Or one guy walked, I was watching a video of one guy, and he was on top of a building and he just started building a wooden path below him, and he walked over to the next building. So yeah, a lot of more than just going around killing people, but there is a creative aspect to it as well. And you can imagine if you have teams of four, you can be building together and working together in it. So,
yeah, and killing is kind of a funny word too, because the game is fairly cartoony, and the violence is more cartoony violence than it is. I mean, there are games that have like ridiculously realistic, you know, ragdoll and blood and gore effects. This has none of that. It all feels, cartoony is not quite the right word, but it feels Pixar. And you have the understanding that anybody you quote kill is just going to be kicked back to the lobby. So it's, I think it's, it would be hard for somebody to think about it as like, obviously you're using the language of kill, but I think it would be hard for somebody to think about it as violent. Unless they're predisposed to find video games violent.
Yeah, very colorful too, as opposed to like dark colors to draw you into intensity.
Right. But
yeah, so what do you all think of the idea of this game being a place? And I would say that maybe this one is the most popular recently, but I don't think it's the first. I mean, one can think of, I think one of the articles that I was reading mentions World of Warcraft of like guilds and millions of people all working together and romances being created. And, but yeah, have you all ever played a game that you would have seen counting as a place as opposed to, just a game? Or do you even think that's possible?
I might be the odd one out here in terms of not just hosts, but listeners also. I'm not a big gamer these days, and my gaming history is centered around Nintendo stuff. I never really got into, so I was really into Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64 and stuff like that. I played PC games and stuff, when I was younger, but never really got into the like massive multiplayer online side of things. So World of Warcraft and StarCraft and all those kinds of games just weren't really of interest to me. Having said that though, I don't, when you were talking at the start, Tank, about like, it's, you know, it's a place, it's somewhere where people gather and have it, you know, talk to each other and whatnot. I was kind of like, okay, so it's like the internet, you know what I mean? Like Fortnite is a place. Is like, it sounds like this really profound statement, but it also to me kind of seems like really obvious. Like I've got friends who used to play Battlefield, the game, and that has, from what I understand, has like a comms aspect to it as well. And so for them, that I know, you know, sort of three or four guys, that was a really, it was as much about like, let's all set up a time where we can all be on at the same time and play together than let's just go and play the game. Because we're hanging out even though we're at our own houses. And so I think, you know, the internet in general is kind of has created, it is one huge community of people who, can be, on sort of the same space and, publishing and all that kind of thing. But then it's created a whole bunch of other smaller communities around different foci, like games, and games would be a big one, I suppose. And chat rooms and things like that. But games would be one where, you know, you're on at the same time and you're sort of trying to achieve a goal or a purpose. And so that you've got some sort of thing that initially gives you something in common. And then from there, you build out relationships around, you know, or sort of spreading out from that sort of central point. And so I don't think it's wrong to say that Fortnite is that, but I also don't think it's at all unique. And I think there's been heaps of examples of this over the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. It seems like, anyway, to me. When I was reading the articles, that's kind of, I was like, yeah, okay. Sounds profound, but not really anything new, you know.
Our sponsor this week is Missionalware, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missionaware prints apparel, drinkware, accessories, and more with beautiful artwork of historical creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers. It comes in pints? I'm getting one. Martin Luther was famous for a number of things, one of which was his love of beer. I can't think of a better way to crack open a cold one with the boys than to use some Missionaware beer glasses with Martin Luther pictures or quotes on them. Missionaware makes some great beer glasses for all kinds of beer. If you're still drinking from a can or a bottle, you're missing something. And in case you're a Baptist with a capital B, you can use these for root beer, iced tea, or even watered down tap water. To grab some reformed glasses, t-shirts, posters, or even just to browse their great designs, check them out at missionaware.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. Thanks to Mission Aware for sponsoring the Tech Reformation. When I was... So the last role-playing game I played and liked was Legend of Zelda, the Ocarina of Time.
Some would say that's not a role-playing game. You could get in trouble for that.
All right. Ooh. Well, the last thing that even remotely resembled a role-playing game that I played was that. And I don't do role-playing games anymore, or especially not massively multiplayer. Like, my preference in games is to have, and this is one of the reasons I never got into Fortnite, I want a clear objective, go do the thing, and then I either do the thing or fail to do the thing, and then I get to try again if I failed. Like, that's what I like in a video game. I guess the exception to that is Super Smash Bros., which I love. But even then, like, the objective is go smash the opponent. all that being said, I played a game called America's Army, which was a recruitment tool put out by the U.S. Army based on their military simulator that they had their soldiers play for training. And there were a lot of communities built around this game. I feel like this is the case with a lot of games. Another one that comes to mind is Jedi Knight, Jedi Outcast, which I never really got into, but like that gained its own super huge like modding and gaming community. Counter-Strike Source is another one that I never got into. But
so
anyway,
is this before or after you were thinking of being a pastor that you were thinking of being a U.S. Army soldier?
Oh, I was never going to join the army. I have I have medical conditions that would preclude that. I did think about it and then realized that it was just never going to happen. But
right.
So anyway, I mean, it's honestly weird to think back on that time because like what Craig was saying about how the internet just spawns these communities and this isn't all that different from any of these other communities. Like, I remember I had part of this was I lived pretty far away from my friends. And if you listen to The Lightest Form of Flogging, you will discover that I didn't have that many friends growing up. So I was just like starving for social interaction. But part of me thinks that's what it is to be young. Like, to be young is to starve for interaction with peers. So I remember like finding online communities surrounding like my particular brand of personal data assistant, the Dell Axum. I remember finding these communities and like not just talking about the Axum X5, but talking about like politics in the general chat area on this message board, you know? And yeah, it's kind of interesting now because I look at that, I'm just like, well, I don't care. Like, all those communities exist, but I don't care to interact on them. Like, I have the people that I interact with in my life and I'm happy with that. But it is definitely the case that, like, especially for young people, I think these communities do spark up and young people are looking for a place to talk. I think what makes Fortnite maybe unique is that it is so large, like 10 million people watching a concert on it instead of the Super Bowl. I think I saw something that was either 100 or 200 million players. And it's had such a profound impact on the culture. Like, I remember my niece was, who I think is five or six. She was showing me, she was showing us, my wife and I, a dance that she learned from her friend who learned the dance on Fortnite. This was the floss.
Is that where that comes from? As soon as I read that there were dances in there, I was like, I bet you that's where flossing comes from.
Well, it doesn't originate there. It actually originates with somebody else who's suing Epic because they incorporated it without paying him. But I think the scope of impact that this game is having on the broader culture and the number of people playing it is a bit out of proportion, whereas before there were lots of little communities. This seems to be one really big and ubiquitous community.
One person even said in the, let me check real quick. In one article, the person, his conclusion, was that Fortnite is the next social network. He said, you know, everyone's wondering what the next social network will be. Will it be something like Facebook or Twitter, or will it be like more private, But this person suggests that Fortnite is the new social network. As you're saying, that it's huge and so many people are going to it and impacting culture and concerts are taking place. That whoever wrote that, that's his, I don't know the word. Yeah.
Perspective.
Yeah. That's his perspective on it. And I think it's interesting, like you mentioned going to those forums, those small communities and talking about politics, and not just what the thing was about, but all sorts of things. And I was reading an article called Polite Fortnite Society, where it's talking about the community that has been created through Fortnite. And first, the author gave an example of herself and said just when she plays the squad things and people realize she's older, you know, I don't know how much older, she didn't say her age, but she's not just like a teenager and she's also female, that they begin asking her perspective on things. Like, she says, like, you know, they ask why a girl doesn't like her or why a girl doesn't like them. And they, talk about their parents and call their parents idiots. And she gives advice on that. And then, express insecurity and like that they're never going to amount to anything, and just random strangers begin confiding in her. And then there is another example later on of a famous
strange danger.
That was my thought too.
There's another example of a Twitch streamer who has like 600,000 followers, I think it was, and he streams Fortnite. But just tons of people are asking him for advice in the chat. And so he like learned how to give advice from his father, he said. And so anytime he sees that while he's playing, he just starts giving people advice about, he's really into fitness. So things like how to lose weight, but other much deeper topics. And the person was making a point that through Fortnite, like mentorship is happening. People are learning from these role models that, whether they're just strangers that they feel like maybe have some authority, or to their esport famous streamer type people that are becoming role models.
Yeah, that was interesting. And it's somewhat encouraging as well that, I mean, they gave examples of a couple of people who I kind of see themselves, I guess, as role models. And one guy in particular, they were saying, has like really toned down his language use and stuff like that, because he's kind of assumed the role of role model or mentor in that game community. And so people are like, you know, why aren't you behaving like you used to behave? And he's like, well, because I've realized that I needed to grow up a bit, and you know, other people are looking to me to be kind of a leadership figure, and so I'm gonna act like that, like I'm gonna act in accordance with that in order to be sort of more helpful to more people. So that was good. That was an encouraging aspect of that came out of one of these articles. And I guess the potential is there in these communities for positive interaction. Like when I mentioned stranger danger before, I think I guess there's always going to be an element in any of these things of something could go wrong. You know, you could start talking to the wrong person, and that could lead down a dangerous path, depending on, you know, what happens next and all that kind of thing and what sort of person they are. But it's, I guess the question then becomes, you know, how do we make sure that people who are interacting on these platforms, and we can't make sure for the whole world, but within our families, how do we put wisdom and boundaries and things in place to ensure that, you know, bad situations don't come out of what could be quite a neutral environment, sort of, you know, trying to ensure that it doesn't turn negative. And one of the things, I guess, would just be like accountability. I did, again, the radio interview that I referenced earlier, I think had an element of what one of these articles recommended, which was actually as a parent, like asking if you can play with your child or play alongside them, or maybe it's not your child, maybe it's your nephew or, you know, your friend's kid or whatever. But
even if you're bad.
Yeah, just like
them teach you.
Exactly. Get into the game with them and be terrible at it, and that's okay. They'll kind of expect you to be, most likely, especially if you've never played it before, and let them be the expert, and then they feel like you're not only interested in what they're doing, but They aren't, the roles are flipped and they're not just kind of a spectator. They're the one who's more experienced and able to pass over knowledge and stuff like that. And that's probably not a bad idea. Like I know if, I guess as a parent with very young children, if and when my kids get interested in this kind of thing, I guess that's something that I'll then be looking to do, not so that I can kind of helicopter them, but just so that I can be aware of how they interact within the game, and that kind of thing. Just to kind of keep some level of accountability. And there's probably more that needs to happen with that, but I thought that was like a good recommendation as a first step.
Yeah, I really have no thoughts on answering that particular question just because it's not something that's come up for me in my life yet. I mean...
Wait, what was the question?
You asked the question of like, how do we keep our family safe?
Oh, and me. Then you, yeah, okay. Mm, yeah. Gotcha. That question, yeah. Yep.
And I mean, the obvious answer to me is you don't like let your kids play these games without being to some degree monitored. And I mean, this varies by age, but like, I think what's crazy in my mind is letting your kid just have a device and play Fortnite, when he's 8 years old and like, he's just going to meet and talk to people on the internet and like, that's totally fine. Like you go off, go to your room and play Fortnite and talk to strangers on the internet. Like that's I don't want to say that's stupid, but it seems very unwise to me.
Responsible.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, your 17-year-old, like, okay, that's a different story. Mm. But the aspect of this that's interesting to me, I guess, is kids are always, and when I say kids, I mean, I'm turning into my parents. I mean, even like 18-year-olds, like even high schoolers here, like, or honestly, college students, now that I think about it. They're always shoved into, either by themselves or by outside forces, these artificial communities where like you are forced to make and have friends. Like I remember being 22, going to college with a bunch of freshmen, and like 18-year-olds aren't necessarily good at making friends. I mean, some are for sure, but like, your ability to interact with new people at 18, especially if you were homeschooled, is not as good as, you know, somebody who's 25 or whatever. And while I was on probably lower than their level, socially, like I just remember these like mixer events that like were mandatory. You have to go to this thing. And I remember being so frustrated because it just seemed so, it seemed like it was setting them up for failure. Like you're going to learn how to make friends in this context where we are literally requiring you to make friends, and then you're going to go off into the world after college and try to make friends, and the only experience you'll have is like these rigidly structured let's form friends things. Like how do you make a friend with somebody at work when you don't have that level of forced interaction? And I do wonder if Fortnite, I guess I'm just ranting at this point, but I remember back in the video game that I played, I remember feeling in that world, like in America's Army, like I had some level of competence, some level of value. Like I was pretty good at the game. And then feeling like when I went out into the actual world, like now I have no useful skills, no reason why anyone would want to talk to me. Like that world and this world were two different things. And in one world I was valuable, in the other world I either wasn't or was far less valuable. And I do wonder about, that's different from like Facebook, where Facebook, the whole point is social interaction, which I'm not saying Facebook is necessarily healthy, but the difference there is like the context of there being another world with another set of parameters for what makes somebody a valuable person in that world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the articles was discussing why particularly kids, but I think it's true for anyone, would get so into Fortnite, and they suggested that three things people need to flourish are competence. What were they? Competence, autonomy, and relatedness. And so, yeah, to feel good, to feel valuable, to feel like they have ability, autonomous, to be able to make their own decisions and be creative, find new ways to overcome challenges, and then relatedness, to have that social interaction. And it sounds like that's what you had in America's Army, and that's what Fortnite is giving a lot of people, especially like kids. You know, you can think of that, like if they're doing poorly in school, which is their main outlet, and then they have parents who hover over them, and then they're maybe shy or something, then they don't have any of those three in the real life. But yeah, one aspect that I think of that is, you know, there are kids, college age students, high school age students, all sorts of ages of people who are going into this game, and maybe they're not going into it for the purpose of being mentored and finding people they look up to and respect, but that is an outlet, something that's coming from it, you know? And to one thing that makes me think of is that, you know, this is it, whether or not it's true, I think it sounds pretty extreme to call this the next social network, but, you know, churches and pastors and people have strategies for using social networks to reach out to people and have an impact on the world through social networks. And if this is something where 10 million people are playing and clearly some sort of mentorship is happening, people are asking for advice and wisdom, it seems to me like a great opportunity for people who do enjoy that type of stuff and want to pursue Fortnite. Then this is a way that they could be thinking of, how, you know, how can I impact people's lives? How can I, you know, whether to share the gospel or whether give biblical advice and point people to the word. That's something cool that I could see about, as I read this article, could see for Fortnite players, like, oh, here's an opportunity while you're enjoying your time.
Yeah. I thought the reference to those three things that everyone is striving for, was interesting. I mean, I found it refreshing in a way that, when I was reading I think it was the VentureBeat article, maybe, you know, they started off by talking like, is it really addiction? Nah, it's not addiction. Like, people playing lots and lots of Fortnite isn't necessarily an addiction unless it's causing serious harm or impairment to daily function. And I've met people like that. Like, I remember when I don't know if I've told this story before when we talked about video games, but when I was at film school, it was like, it was, you know, there was by interview only to get into film school, and you had to kind of some stuff you had to do in the interview in terms of, you know, creative tasks and stuff to sort of get in the door. There's only like 20, 23 people in the course or something like that. And there was a guy who just would rock up at 11 a.m. every morning instead of 9 a.m. or sometimes 11:30 or, you know, sort of middle of the day. And I remember the lecturer saying, like, you need to be here on time. You're missing, like, the sort of like the craft theory lectures. And without that, you're not going to be able to do all the practical component of the course. And he just said, well, I am playing World of Warcraft until 4 a.m. and then I have a few hours sleep and I cannot get here before 11. Like, this is my life and this is how it works. So it came down to like an old ultimatum, and he just walked out and dropped out of the course because he would not give up his World of Warcraft. And so I think that was an interesting, you know, the thing of addiction versus non-addiction. Addiction versus overindulgence is what they called it. And I was like, well, is there actually a line there, or can they kind of be called the same thing? But then when they got to talking about those three things that people need, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I can see people trying to gain, you know, a feeling of competency and autonomy and relatedness through gaming. And so that was a helpful sort of framework to understand what it is that, you know, even for myself, what are some of the reasons that I liked gaming back when I did more of it? And probably those three things came into it. Although when I was into it, a lot of the relational side of it was, you know, when you're talking Super Nintendo, like I was saying, like when, or even the Sega days before that, like you were sitting alongside someone, and playing, like literally playing with them, not just playing with them in a virtual space. And so there was a different way of going about that. But what I found sort of refreshing about the article, because up until this point, I'd kind of got the sense that it was sort of erring on the side of it's not, you know, it's not a big deal. We don't need to worry about it as much as, you know, people are saying that we do. They were, at least the article was quite honest about the fact that a game, while a game can give you some of those things to a degree, it won't ever give you the same amount of those things as you can get through real world experiences. So maybe it can be like a top up or like, a, you know, an enjoyable extra, but it can't be the only thing. So when you're substituting the real world for the virtual world and saying, oh, no, no, it's okay, I'm getting the same things as I would get in the real world and the virtual world, that's when I think, you know, particularly for younger people who maybe don't recognize the differences as much, that's when essentially they're deceiving themselves. And that does become an unhealthy thing. But as long as, and I think, you know, so for adults who are trying to sort of guide their children, you know, showing that this sense of, you know, pick any one of these three things, the sense of competency that you can get from actually achieving something and making a change or reaching a goal in the real world in a tangible sense, in something that you can see in front of you that is going to have some lasting effect either on your life or on a thing that you've created or whatever, that is going to feel different and feel more significant probably than something that you've achieved in a game. And then next time you boot out and back into the game, you reset and start again. Or do you know what I mean? Like it's a less permanent and sort of transcendent thing, video games. It's just by nature. That's just how they operate. And so I thought it was good that the article was honest about the fact that it can't be an either or if you're going to get into gaming and sort of appreciate those three aspects. They need to be done healthily. They need to be done in light of the fact that those three things ultimately won't be fulfilled in you primarily from gaming. That is just another avenue where you can get those things. But really the real world is, and ultimately, I guess we would say as Christians, God is the one who fuels our sense of identity and self-worth and those kinds of things, or should be anyway. And who he says we are and who we are in him is where our identity comes from, and how we relate to other people should all flow out from that, those sorts of things. So I think that's kind of another thing that is kind of key to this, but I at least found it good that the article was, yeah, was honest about that and kind of fronted up and said, you know what, there's actually another whole world outside these worlds. These worlds are really immersive and whatever. They create some great community, and people have a really good time and get to know each other and what, you know, build bridges and stuff across different sort of community groups. But at the same time, there's a whole thing outside of this that we can't neglect for the sake of the online and the sort of temporal in-game situation.
Mm. Yeah. It's interesting because I was thinking to myself, like, man, if I had had this, like, if this game, not like the game mechanics of it, but the reach of this game, if I had played this and my friends had played it, because like when I was a kid, my friends didn't really play video games, or maybe a couple of them did, but it wasn't like they weren't gaming lifestyles. Like they had an Xbox and they played Halo and that was about it. But like, I guess where I was thinking was when I played with my gaming clan, my skills in the game transferred to both a certain level of confidence where I felt like I could make friends because I had valuable skills, and also a certain level of like people were interested in what I had to say because I was good at poning noobs, as you would say. But those credits didn't transfer. Like when I stepped into my realm of real friends, nobody cared that I was really good with an M203 grenade launcher. Like nobody, or even that like knowledge that was retained outside the game. Like I had an uncommon level of knowledge about military grade weaponry. Nobody cared. As a matter of fact, it was a detriment at parties, which I didn't learn until it was too late. But in Fortnite, like the odds of there being cool kids in your school, and no small number of them who play the game, mean your credits kind of transfer, but they don't transfer in any way other than socially. And in that sense, it brings the conversation more back around to like, how invested should your kids be in sports? Because like, if you're a quarterback for your high school football team, that gives you a lot of social credit. It gives you a lot of ability to, like I said before, feel confident enough to talk to people, and also for people to feel like they value what you have to say because you're the quarterback. Like you get that. And Fortnite might bring that same sense, but ultimately being able to throw a football is not useful for getting a job. It's not useful for, raising a healthy family. Like it's really only mm-hmm. useful in that context and in the social context of your high school. So the conversation is almost, it's different in Fortnite from video games 10 years ago, but I don't think it's a new conversation per se, at least on that psychological front.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Tank, I realized we asked this at the beginning and I don't think you answered. Did you ever play any games, have any communities like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one that I played the most is one probably nobody has RuneScape. Heard of. Everyone's heard of that one. If anyone has heard of this, I would love for you to contact me because it's just so rare. It was a game called The Gangsters 2. Eventually, eventually they changed the name to Legacy-Game. But it had about 100 people that would be online at any time. And you're divided up into four different gangs. And those gangs were community ran. And like there was like a leadership council of each gang. And, you know, the players would become the leaders and they would decide things. And then you would level up, fight monsters, get to the max level. And then there was an area called the Wasteland where the four gangs would battle for territory. And so the more but basically to gain territory, you just sat on a square with your friends and about like every minute, a certain percentage would change. And so you could gain a square in about 20 minutes. So that meant most of playing was just sitting there with five other people. Hey, how's it going? And maybe a bad guy would jump in and you'd kill them and then, or they'd kill you and then you'd wait and you'd go back out there. And that was most of the game, but I loved it because of the community aspect. I actually got to be on the leadership council of one of the gangs, and I would have been the leader, but I had to go back to my parents' house where they didn't have Wi-Fi. So, but I was in the running for it. And this was at a time where the only conversation I had with anybody outside of that game was essentially like, thank you for holding open a door or for making a transaction. But like I had almost no relational structure outside because I was so shy. Hmm. And so this really was my community, and it was where I felt like I am popular, I am skilled, I can have fun, people laugh at my jokes, you know, I can be myself inside this game. That was all it was typing. Nobody saw my face or heard my voice. And so, yeah, that, and I stopped playing, I joined a fraternity and there was more community. You pay for friends in a fraternity. I needed friends. So yeah, I joined the fraternity and, you know, I began to develop real life community, and that the game community just slowly faded away. So I haven't played it. I've gone back to it a couple of times since just to kind of mess around in it, but I haven't played it seriously since.
Does it still look the same? Because I'm looking at it on YouTube and the graphics are amazingly 90s.
Yep. It probably looks the same as it always has, yeah.
And like as you drive along the street, if there's a car going along the street, the buildings like build up and then disappear again so that you can see where the car is. Is this the same game?
There was no drive. This was it was like Facebook, you know, that you just clicked. So literally, there's no 3D objects or, you know.
So what is this that I'm watching? Gangsters 2 game.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, that's something different.
A tank. You didn't tell me there were multiple Gangsters 2s. I've watched like 5 minutes of this. I'm never going to get that time back.
Multiple Gangsters 2.
Well, right now it's called legacy-game.net. It's not it's not even Gangsters anymore.
Yeah, but I thought there might be some old YouTube videos.
Well, I might have played it before YouTube. That's not true. But I don't know when its name got switched.
I find that story interesting, and I feel like there's value in these. They're almost like social playgrounds. Like they're training areas where you can gain some skills. There's value in them, but I think it's just important to understand what that value is and keep it in its proper place. Mm. And always be thinking about, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I using this? Mm-hmm. Oh, here's a link. This is basically a board game.
Basically a board game. It's an RPG board game.
Oh, okay.
Online right now, 54. It's kind of dying a little bit. That's sad.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the graphics are even worse than that game I linked to before.
Yeah, it was great, though. I loved it.
Designed by programmers.
Hey, some of our listeners are programmers there.
That's okay, as long as they're not also claiming to be designers without actually, you know, wanting to get into design and doing some study or tutorials or whatnot. As a friend of mine at work and I always say, everybody wants to be a designer.
Hmm. And so if anyone else has played Gangsters 2/Legacy, please get in the Slack. Let me know. I'd love to talk to you and find out what your account name was. And if anyone else has enjoyed Fortnite or some other game with a community, love to hear that too. Or you can just talk to us about your opinions on what it means to have a community inside a game. Love to hear your thoughts.
We're the Fortnite of Slack.
We're the Fortnite of Slack. Yeah, we are a place.
And if you'd like to listen to more episodes of the Tech Reformation, you can check out our website, techreformation.com, where you can find our entire back catalog of episodes and even share them with your friends so that more people hear about the show. Because if you don't share the show with your friends, no one will know about it. Only you can prevent ignorance.
And if you know how to type on a keyboard and click a mouse button, why don't you jump on iTunes and leave us a review as well? Click on some stars and then type in some words and do that. That'll help us be seen by a few more people as well, which is always something that we're grateful for.
This has been the Tech Reformation. Thank you for listening, and we will see you again next week. And I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, no. Actually, there is a service now that does Google WaveNet voices for your articles. You just plug it in and it reads it out loud to you.
You know, you can just two fingers down on your iPhone and it reads it out loud to you anyway.
What?
Using the accessibility features, the screen reader.
Oh, no, I did not know this.
Fingers just swipe down. With two fingers downwards and it'll start reading, and you can speed it up or slow it down as you wish.
Whoa.
Anyway.
You gotta test this now.
That's not a thing that's happening. Swipe down where?
From the top of the screen.
On my Windows 10.
On the top of my screen?
Yeah, here, look.
That just brings down my notification center.
TechCrunch. What? Fortnite Society. In Fortnite. Maybe this is something I have to turn on.
Probably in your accessibility settings, you might need to turn on whatever that's called.
General accessibility?
As opposed to lieutenant level accessibility.
Lieutenant, I think you mean.
Nope, I mean lieutenant. Do I mean lieutenant?
I think you do.
Are you sure?
Are you trying to say it the way you say it or the way we say it?
Yeah, I'm trying to say it the real way. There's no F in that word, just by the way.
I know. I've never understood why certain people groups say it that way. Oh, here we go.
Really? I didn't know people did that either.
Oh, I'm listening through my earbuds. Not the dog. Earbuds.
Yeah, you need to turn speak screen on. Have you got that on?
Yeah, I just turned it on. Whoops. Yeah. SOS. Oh, no.
No speakable content could be found on the screen.
That's cool.
Holy cow, this is amazing. Fortnite is fine furthermore. Parents can breathe easier knowing that research suggests. Oh, and it follows you around?
Yeah.
Guys, this is going in the episode.
No. It's been in an episode about 100
this
episodes
be
ago.
The episode.
Well,
it's been in an
show.
Episode ages ago. Tech you should use, I think, in about like episode 30 or 40 something.
And I can set it to Siri Mail or Siri. Who's Fred? Oh, that sounds like Stephen Hawking. Never mind. Oh. Fine, I'll put it in at the end.
Hello, my name is Stephen Hawking.
That was really good.
Thank you. I've always done a surprisingly good impression of Stephen Hawking.
I felt like there was even a slight glitch in your voice. Like, I don't know how you did that.